really nervous about today, which is strange. I've been sitting at the back of the room and I have been like inwardly shaking, and that's not normal because I'm normally not nervous when I get up to speak. And I think what it is I'm not nervous about how you guys are going to respond or, you know, the stuff that I'm going to say, but I just have such a sense within me that I've sort of got the end of the message that I want to share today, and I just want to make sure that I can communicate that properly. And I just really appreciate if you guys can just stand at the moment, because I'd like to pray, and if you guys can stand in support of me in that as I pray for the message today. Dear God, we stand before you and we openly admit our flaws. We openly admit, Lord, that there are things that you would have us do that we're not equipped to do, but that we can step out in faith and do because you work through us. And Lord, I just thank you for your sense of humour in how you're speaking your message to me today directly and then wanting me to share it at the same time. So I just I pray that I can do that effectively, and I pray that I serve you as I should today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have looked this week. Andrew said something last night. I wasn't going to share this, but I will now that I'm speaking about it. Andrew talked last night about the Bible, and Andrew, you said some stuff that really, really hit me about sharing and speaking in churches and preparing and being in ministry and then not actually reading the Bible and doing that stuff for your own sake as well. And that's part of my story. I've just got the advantage that I've been preparing for speaking for the majority of this year. So it's been an amazing year for me because I've had the incentive of chatting to God all the time. I've probably driven back and forth from Phillip Island, I don't know how many times this year, 50 or 60 times. And so for that 4-hour trip all the time, I've been listening to sermons and praying and speaking and doing that type of stuff. But definitely that spoke to me last night, Andrew, because for me, that's the incentive that gets me to do that stuff. If I'm preparing to speak, I'm preparing a camp, I'm preparing a sermon. And that's something I need to work on in my own life of saying, well, I'm going to read the Bible just for me and God. We've been looking at a passage out of the Bible this week, which is what Andrew went on to say about the power of the Bible and getting into the Bible. We've been looking at a few verses of the Bible. Have you guys seen the impact that a few verses of the Bible God has been able to have in some of your lives? It's amazing. I know that there are some of you who made a big step last night. Maybe that was coming down the front. Maybe it was just in your seats and making a big step. Maybe it was chatting to your leader later and you made a big step. And I want to encourage you in that. That was so exciting. Some of the leaders were just saying, I thought, this is just so exciting to see the journey that God can take you guys on from the start of the week to a few days in. But I know that there are some of you out there, and I want to thank these people at the moment. I know there are some of you out there at the moment who aren't at that point in your journey. You're sitting out there at the moment, you're saying, well, I'm not coming forward and putting God on the throne of my life. And I want to thank you for the support you are giving to your peers. I want to thank you for that, because I know it's hard to sit out there and be in a position and you're seeing people crying and you see people come forward and putting their hands up and standing up, and you're sitting there going, what's going on? It's just not connecting with me. So I want to thank you for supporting these people who are at that point in their journey, because that has been a blessing to me this week, to see people who aren't there in their journey but are saying, hey, this person's my friend and I'm going to support them even though I might not believe what they believe or something like that. That is really cool. I reckon that's one of the coolest things to do when you come to camp. If you're not there in your journey but you're willing to support those who are. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 6. I'm not going to read through the whole thing again, but we talked about the holiness of God. I walked in this morning as the drama team were practicing, and I came up to Kristen and I just said, that is amazing. That is so much where I was going to start talking about today. There is no McJesus. There is no, oh, I just want God in this point, this point, and this point. Luke shared earlier in the week from the book of Job, of Job going through all these trials and then getting to the point of crying out to God, and God saying, paraphrase here, who are you? Who are you? I'm God, you're not. You know, wake up and smell the coffee. I'm God. So There is no, let's go to the counter and order the Jesus we want. And I know that some of you will have heard that message, and I really do pray that you haven't heard that message from me this week. Because I know that we have been talking about getting rid of those things controlling our lives. We have been talking about getting rid of the sin, saying I don't have to wear that anymore, that I'm not unclean, I don't have to live with that anymore. But I hope that you haven't heard the message of I'll come to God and everything will be okay. That you should come to God because you've got these things going on in your life, and if you come to God, then God can fix those things. If God is just someone who's going to fix stuff in your life, then I apologize because I haven't done my job well enough. Because that's not what God is. God is holy. As much as it's not about our sin, it's about how holy God is. And our response to a holy God is not, okay, God, well, I've been presented with you this week, and this sounds a bit interesting. I've never really heard about you before, God, but, well, if you're there, God, here's my list. And give a list to God. Who are we to give a list to God? God is holy, holy, holy. God is sitting on the throne, not us. We are there to respond to God. God is not there to respond to us. We talked about unclean. And I just want to say that again. None of us are unclean. It says in the Bible that nothing is unclean that God has made clean. And God stands there saying, I want to make you clean. That stuff that you see in your lives that's stuck to it is not you. That's separate to you. I want you, and I want to get rid of that stuff. If another analogy works better, I can see that you're in chains. Those chains that are binding you are not you. I want to get rid of those chains because I want to have a relationship with you. And that's where we've come. Last night, we talked about being saved. And the Christian lingo for what happened last night was that people were becoming saved, becoming Christians, saying, yes, God, I need to be saved. Christina said earlier in the week about Hosanna, that we sing Hosanna, and it literally means save, and it was cried out to start with as, God, save us. And then it became a shout of praise. God has saved us. And we talked about that last night. But the message that I have today flows on from the next verse in this chapter. And I'll read it here. I'll read it, a bit of the intro for the first. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. That's where we were last night. Guilt taken away, sin atoned for. We are saved. Today, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. You see, I said the other night something that maybe was a bit of a revelation for some of you. Because you'd thought of Christianity all this time, about God all this time, as this guy with all these rules that you had to follow, and that we were really dirty and God was really clean, and we had to do everything we had to get clean and to be good. And I said a big statement, I said it's not about unclean, right? Threw the mud off myself, or most of it. It's not about unclean. I want to say something even bigger today, which maybe, hopefully, will blow some of your minds completely. It's not about saved. It's not about saved. I think so many of you will have heard the message of come to Jesus and be saved. And so many of you responded to that last night. But it's not like that's the end of a journey. That's a step in the journey. In many ways, that is the beginning of a journey. And yet I would say a big statement that a lot of people who would call themselves Christians, who would go to church every Sunday, who would come to camp, who may even lead on camps or work in ministry, as Nick was talking about before. You know, you think, oh, gee, Nick, he comes from a Christian family, he's on the sound desk, he must have it all together because he's serving in the church. I would say that so many Christians who go to church every Sunday of their lives have fallen into the mistake of thinking it's all about saved. It's not about saved. That's not where it stops. Because God has saved us for a purpose. If God has taken us out of a life that we were living without Him into a life that we're now living with Him, He's done that for a reason. He's done that for a reason. I said a few times this week, and yesterday particularly, talking about those people that my heart was breaking for down at Coles, that we can come into this week and go out a different person. We can come in one person and go out changed. That this week can be a turning point in our lives. If we are going to come into this camp an ordinary person with an ordinary life and meet with Jesus and then go out an ordinary Christian, what's really changed? Today on my heart is to share a message that perhaps some of you were coming into camp and you were thinking, camp is going to be great. Looking forward to the worship, band from overseas coming in, we're going to have some great worship. And maybe you've been on camp before and you're thinking, this is going to be fantastic. We are going to see some strongholds broken down. We're going to see some powers that have control over people's lives taken away. We're going to see people make a stand and make a step in their life to accept Jesus as the Lord. Jesus is the person on that throne in their life. And that's going to be great. And I'm going to be there to witness it. And it's going to make me feel all warm and fuzzy because it's so great. It's going to really refresh my heart. It's going to be a great thing to see. But maybe you're coming in and thinking, but that's not me because I'm following God, because I'm a Christian already. And I just go to camp and camp just sort of a spiritual boost. Well, I got news for you. I reckon today's message is for you. Because it's not about saved. And maybe you've been sitting at saved for so long, thinking this is the way to go, living an ordinary Christian life. I'm going to read a story to you now from the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I'm just going to pray again because I need to. Dear God, I pray that you can give me the words to bring these verses to life, to speak the message now, here, right now, that was on my heart before. In Jesus' name, amen. Peter and John were going about their everyday business. They had lived with Jesus. They had walked with Jesus for years, and now they were without Jesus in the physical sense. They were without Jesus, and they were going about their everyday Christian life. And they walked to the temple, and then they were presented with a situation. And I don't know, the book of Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote the book of Luke. And I think that Luke's obviously heard this story, and I'm thinking that maybe the story was told a bit more like this, with a bit more life than we read it when we read it in the Bible. Like Peter, imagine Peter telling this story to the other disciples. Like, going down to the temple, we're just going about our everyday normal business, going down to the temple, and, you know, we're just chatting and going there to pray, and then all of a sudden there was this opportunity that presented itself to me, and I was really moved. I just felt God saying to me, reach out to this person. I mean, I'd seen Jesus do it before. I mean, we were with Jesus, and we saw him doing this superhero stuff, but I felt this calling from God to just reach out. And I didn't know what was going to happen. But I just felt, look, if God tells you to do something, then don't fight with God. And I said, you know, gold or silver I don't have, but get up and walk. And he got up and walked. Can you imagine? Like, I don't think it was just a cliche sort of like casual thing. Oh yeah, let's perform a miracle here. I reckon Peter would have been inwardly blown away by that himself, of God working through him. Isaiah, we're looking at a question that God asks. We go through the holiness of God, we go through our sin atoned for. We go forward, we are clean, that we are saved. But then God asks the question, whom shall I send? And is our response, well, not me, God, because I'm saved. Peter is saved. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. I know so many times in my life, I will say that I, not knowingly anyway, have ever walked up and healed someone and made them walk who couldn't walk. But I know that so many times in my life, I have followed a prompting from God and acted on it and seen lives changed through simply doing simple things. Many years ago, there was a studies time like this in the second dining room, actually, and I was directing the camp, so I was actually able to be in there at the time. I was running back and forth and getting the next thing ready. And I walked through and a couple of girls had walked out, and I sort of thought, what are they doing out of the room? They're meant to be in the room, and I was just trying to, you know, control everything as a director does. And I was walking towards them, and I just felt God say, just tell them you love them. And I thought, it's a strange thing. But I thought, oh, that's what God says. So I just walked straight past, didn't even stop. They said, hey girls, just want you to know I love you. And as I walked past, they just broke down in tears. I'm here now. And later on, they said to me, that was just amazing, because that was exactly what we were praying for, said someone to tell us that they love us. And you walked out of nowhere and just said it and kept on walking. And as much as that for me is an amazing story, I know so many times in my life I've felt the prompting of God and I haven't acted on it. And I just think, what would the world be like if in my life I'd actually acted on the prompting of God more often? When I hear God saying stuff rather than going, oh, is it really God telling me to do that? Maybe it's just a bit too much out of my comfort zone, I won't do it. Today I want to send a message that it's not about saved. Yes, it is important that we get to a point where we recognize that God is a holy God. Yes, it is important. It is so important. It's been the catch cry of my ministry for so long with young people, of just saying, you are not unclean. God loves you. God forgives you. God makes you new. And yes, it absolutely blew me away last night with people saying, yes, God, I want you to come into my life and I want you to save me. But this morning as I was preparing, what really blew me away was this. I believe that there are people here who have been sitting here this week who are thinking maybe it's not a week that they're going to be spoken to, but God has actually been speaking to your heart about things, maybe in a soft whisper. And today that God wants to turn that soft whisper into a louder voice. And the louder voice says this, whom shall I send? Peter and John could have stopped at saying, yes, I'm saved. God is on his knees saying, whom shall I send? And what is our response to that? Our response should be the same as Isaiah's. Here am I, send me. You know, last night we had some people who came forward, and I think that sometimes those of us who maybe had that step in our journey a long time ago, need to be reminded of that. When you see pictures on the news of people stranded in a flood and the rescue workers getting to them and pulling them out of the flood and saving them, you don't see them just going, oh, cool, yep, I'm saved. I'll just go around my normal life. They're overjoyed. They've just been saved. And as Nick talked about before, you know, these things that he realized over a number of weeks building up that could have taken his life, in fact, actually led to him making a decision in his life to go in a different direction. If we come into this week ordinary and go out of it ordinary, then what's changed? You know, I don't think there's any such thing as an ordinary Christian. The theme for this week, I said, was ordinary people, extraordinary lives. Do we just look at Jesus as a superhero and say, yep, Jesus is a superhero? You know, I'm going to share this as well, but when Kurt sent through the superhero theme song, I don't even think I told Kurt this, but I think the email I sent back was just like, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, sort of capital letters and stuff. But it just broke me, because it's exactly where I was going with my planning for talking this week, that there are some songs, and I'm not knocking other worship songs that use the word superhero, but sometimes it can just be about, you know, oh, Jesus is a superhero, Jesus is a superhero, Jesus, and it stops there. But our theme song for this week is talking about God making us into a superhero. God wants to make us into the likeness of Jesus. The Bible says that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is in us. The same power that Peter reaches out and heals a man on the side of the road who's never been able to walk, who is able to walk, is in us. That same power to change the world is in us. So God asks a question, whom shall I send? That same power, what are we going to do with that power? Are we going to hold on to it? Are we going to keep it for ourselves? What are we going to do with that power? I believe so strongly, and I don't mean to be casual about this, because I'm not casual about it, but I just believe so strongly that God has told me that there are people sitting in this room right now who throughout this week and maybe even today have been thinking, that's me. God's been saying stuff to me and I've been sort of just trying to ignore it a bit, but it's getting louder and louder and louder and God is calling me. Well, it's nothing new. It's in here. God is calling all of us. It's not something, or it is something special, but it's not something out of the ordinary. God is calling us to live extraordinary lives. God is calling us to live heroic lives. God is calling us, when we get the prompting, to do things that can only be done through His power, to do them. So God says, whom shall I send? I hope our answer is, here am I, send me. I believe, I'm just going to run with this, I believe that there are people in this room right now whom God has been calling, and maybe for it's a long time, maybe it's just been for this week, but has been saying to them, whom shall I send? You know what is in your heart. Maybe that is to go back to your school. Maybe that is just to impact your friends. Maybe we're in a room now that has future pastors and church leaders and youth pastors and youth workers. People who have been feeling that sense of missionary. Maybe you are being called to go overseas or into your own communities. I can tell you one thing. You're not being called to be ordinary. You're not being called to stop and go, yep, I'm saved, that's me, signed, sealed, delivered, and now I just live the rest of my life ordinary. We're not called to be ordinary, we're called to be heroes. We're called to be heroes in this world because this world needs heroes. This world needs you. Can you imagine what would happen if the people who go to church each week and sit in church saved actually answered this call? Can you imagine what would happen if those who are sitting in this room right now, whom God is talking to their hearts, saying, I want you to go. I want you to live out this extraordinary life that I have died for you, that I have saved for you to have. Can you imagine what change we can make in the world? This is not just a camp thing. People raising their hands, standing up, walking down to the front is not just a camp thing. It is an everyday thing. It's not just about come to camp and experience God for a week and then go home. It's not just about go to church each Sunday, sit there, listen to a sermon, and then live the rest of your life outside of that. You say, Lloyd, are you saying that everyone here, if they're saved, should be in full-time ministry? Well, yes, I am. I don't know what form that ministry takes, but God has not called us to sit saved. God has said, whom shall I send? That doesn't mean everyone needs to go in what the world would see as full-time ministry. But we're called. We're not just saved. We're called. I don't think that I can say any more than that. I don't think that I can put it any other way than the Bible already says it. God cries out. It's God crying out. Whom shall we send? Isaiah responds, here am I, Lord, send me. Isaiah didn't respond, here am I, Lord, I've got all this training and all this education and I'm a perfect person, so you can send me because I'm in it a bit. Isaiah didn't say, oh, here am I, Lord, and once I do this, once I finish school and once I finish uni and once I get a wife or a husband and a house and a mortgage and have kids and have grandkids and then when I'm retired there, then God send me. Isaiah didn't say, well, you know, hey, God, I know a few people that you could probably send. Hey, how about I go and chat to them and talk about them about going because it's not me, but I'll talk to them. Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Many years ago, I guess I had been probably sitting in that point in my life of being saved. I went to camp when I was 11 years old and was presented, as hopefully your leaders and I have done this week, with a simple gospel message and presented with an opportunity to say, yes, I will have Jesus in the throne of my life. I need to be saved, and accepted that. I'd been sitting in that for a number of years of being saved before I heard another call, which was, Lloyd, it's not about being saved. That's just one step in the journey. That's a step out of an ordinary life into an extraordinary life. Now is the time to start being that hero who I created you to be. Yes, your sins are atoned for. Yes, you have been saved. You've been saved for a purpose. So, I'm just going to pray in a minute, but I was thinking about how to do this. Yep. I'm going to pray in a minute, and if God has been speaking to you, maybe he's been saying something to you along these lines. Maybe he's been saying, I love you. I thank you for being my child. I am so in love with you. I am so proud of how far you have come in your life. But you know this conversation that we've been having, you and I, God says. Now it's time to take that next step. Now it's time to say, in answer to my question of whom shall I send, I'm going to take a step to go further in that life. I'm going to take a step not just to stay at being saved, but to actually say, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? What do you want to do with my whole life, Lord? I know that many of you are maybe in year 11, year 10, 11, 12, maybe finishing uni, some of the leaders. I don't for a second believe that God only wants to speak to campers on this camp. Maybe you have been having this conversation with God about, where does God want me to go full time? Where does God want me to go now that I've finished school? Where does God want me to go when I finish uni? What does God want me to do? You know, there are millions of people in the world who have never, never had the opportunity that you have had this week. And some of you, as I said last night, have had this opportunity since you were 8 years old, camp after camp, church Sunday after church Sunday, and youth group. And there are millions of people in the world who don't have that opportunity. And I know. I can't explain how, but I know that there are people in this room that God is saying, I want to send to those people because they are just as important to me as you are. And I've been knocking at the door of God for so long. Who shall I send? And maybe scared, maybe a step of courage, but you're saying, that's me. God wants to send me in that direction. Maybe it's not a big go overseas, be a missionary thing. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you've been inspired by No Greater Sky coming all the way around the world to do a tour and to hang out on a camp with one purpose, to encourage you guys in your relationship with God, to encourage you to take that step. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe your dreams of being a musician and to be a rock star, to make money. Maybe this week God's been saying to your heart, I have a different purpose for the gifts I've been giving you. I have a different purpose for those, because with your music, you're going to change lives. And maybe that's your calling. Maybe you don't know exactly what God is calling you to do, but when you hear God, when you hear this all-powerful, almighty God who has cleansed you, who has atoned for your sins, who has saved you, say, who shall I send? You're jumping up and saying, send me, God. I don't know where, but send me, because I am passionate about this. Send me. I will do whatever. I will do anything. I will go to the ends of the earth. I will go to my own community. I will go to my own family. I will go to my friends, even if I think they're going to laugh at me, and I'm going to share this, because I've been saved and I've been taken from an ordinary life into an extraordinary life, and I'm excited about where God can take me. Whatever it is that God has been speaking to your heart, if you are feeling called to take that next step and say, God, I want you to send me, I want you to use me, then what I'd like you to do is take a simple step that some people took earlier in the week, and that is just to stand, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to acknowledge that, and we're going to encourage you in that. So if that is you, please just stand now. We're not going to have any music or anything like that while this happens. But if that is you, if God is calling your life and saying, I want to send you out, and you're saying, yes, God, I will go wherever you lead me. Go wherever you lead me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if we can encourage each other, if we can support each other, if we can get alongside each other and fulfill this commitment that God is asking from us, how we can change the world? Jesus had a few close friends. Amongst all his followers, a few close friends around him. And through them, he changed the world. Through them, he changed your lives this week. Can you imagine the difference we can make in the world? These are people who are standing. For those of you who are sitting, these are people who are standing, who are saying, I'm making a scary commitment now, because I don't just want to stop at being saved. I want to go wherever God will send me. I hear God's calling of, whom shall we send? God doesn't say, whom shall we send to do this specific thing? I just hear God's calling and I answer that. So I'm going to pray, and I encourage you to support these people in prayer as I pray. Wow. God, you are an amazing God. You're an amazing God. The same power, Lord, that is in you, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, is in each of the people in this room. And I pray, Lord, now that the people who are standing feel that especially, that they know that the power that rose Jesus from the dead is in them, that it's not about who they are and what their abilities are and how good they are that they can change the world, but that your power is in them. And all they need to do is say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, I pray for these people. These people are going to change the world, Lord. They are going to be pastors and youth workers. They are going to be shining lights.